Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry and to discern and deconstruct what they do to help you grow your agency faster. Taking a really kind of an interesting tack this time, I think that, as you know, we've been interviewing some insurtech leaders and mostly those who are just absolutely, clearly, totally working with the agency channel. In this case, I'm going to let you decide for yourself, is this company and is my guest a friend of the agency channel or a disruptor to the agency channel? I think what you'll discover is their own answer would be that they are customer-centric, so their first priority is to the insurance consumer. In any case, it does answer a question that somebody asked me, what's the purpose of this podcast? Why do we do the Connected Insurance Podcast? Here's my thinking behind it, is that I want the listeners to be the smartest insurance agents and insurance professionals in the industry, to be, have a thorough understanding of what's happening in the landscape of the world that we live in. And you'll probably draw some conclusions that I have, that it's a very fast-changing world, and that we need to be vigilant and we need to be aware. So I want you to be aware of this, and I had a delightful conversation with my guest, Steve Beard, who is representing the Zebra. So here's how Steve came into my life. I was reading my morning reader online, and of course it shovels content at me, and I saw, oh, this is really interesting. Here's a report on the state of automobile insurance. And naturally I thought, oh, got to read that because that's kind of what I do. It's part of my job. Might be able to use that and synthesize that information into stuff that I am currently working on. And then I realized it was from the Zebra. Honestly, didn't know much about it, did some research, and I said to myself, we need to know about this, and our listeners need to know about this. So, again, going to let you draw your own conclusions about it, but I also will invite you to a very, very brief afterword, and I will share a couple of thoughts with you that were somewhat stimulated by this conversation with Steve. Steve is a, by the way, I think when we look at insurtech, which I suppose we could call this, we often find, especially in the early days of insurtech, outsiders who kind of looked at this, oh, lucrative waterfall of cash flow that streams through the insurance industry, and they thought, oh, some of that should be ours, and we're really smart with technology, let's go get some. And I think we are beginning to see more and more of the industry coordinating, cooperating with technology in new ways. And we could still call that insurtech. I recently reported 45% of major carriers report that they are coordinating or cooperating or aligning with insurtech. And in this case, the Zebra, they have a real insurance guy. Steve knows this industry. He started his career at Erie Insurance. So, you know, that's a really well-established carrier and been around for a long time. So he's a CPCU. So he's somebody, here's somebody who knows insurance. And then he went from a very traditional carrier like Erie and then went to Answer Financial and Esurance. And, of course, they were later acquired by Allstate. And after 10 years leading their sales team through pretty phenomenal growth, he was recruited to work in managing sales at the Zebra. The zebra, you'll hear more about in a moment, but they claim that they are the most visited car insurance comparison marketplace. Boom. So it does seem to be something that we should all be aware of. So again, I will invite you to hang with me for a couple of moments after my conversation with Steve for a very short afterward. And now, without further ado, it's my honor to introduce you to the conversation that I had with my guest, very generous, very astute, very smart, Steve Beard. Hello, Steve Beard. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Good, good. It's nice to be here.
Well, good to have you. So I'm going to start by asking you a little bit of background on you, and then we will talk about the zebra. But I think your background is interesting enough that I should be interviewing you anyway. So give us a little bit about kind of interesting career history that you've had in the insurance industry.
Sure. I'm one of the accidental careers in insurance that most of us who are in this industry seem to have found themselves.
Indeed.
But it's been a great path for me. I, out of college, got a job with a company called Erie Insurance. It's in my hometown, so it was an easy find for me. Had a 13-year career with them, mostly in the sales management side of the house, and have stayed on sales management and insurance since then. I left Erie and went to Esurance and spent over 10 years at Esurance, with the majority of that time building the inside sales team from a couple hundred sales agents to over 500 when I left, and then have since moved into the agency side of the world, where I spent some time at Answer Financial, which was a sister company with Esurance, managing their carrier relationships. And now I am at the Zebra, VP of Sales Operations at the Zebra, managing our inside sales team as well as the carrier relationships with the Zebra.
So you have really have been in almost all phases of this industry on the retail side. You worked for an independent insurance agency carrier. You worked for the direct. And now you're working for, and I'm not exactly sure what you would call it. I would say that it is probably best defined as an insurtech, and in some cases, maybe a hybrid. So you've done it all, right?
I would agree with that. I mean, at the core of what I do at the Zebra, we are an independent agency. We're a national independent agency.
Right.
We do our sales over the phone, so it's not the traditional model, but we are an independent agency. We're pushing the purchase button on behalf of our carriers. That's not the whole model of the Zebra. That's a portion of our business. We have a lot of direct relationships with carriers as well, but the piece I manage is the classic kind of independent agency side of the business.
So what strikes me as so interesting here, Steve, is that we wouldn't have had this conversation a few years ago. The times obviously are changing, and there are certain forces that are converging that make something like the Zebra possible. And I will ask you later about what those are. But let's start with maybe your best definition of what this entity is and how it's really kind of different than anything else out there that I'm aware of.
Sure. I think the big difference is just kind of the approach that we're taking. We are agnostic to how carriers want to actually sell their product. If they are an independent agency carrier, we can handle that side of it. If they are a carrier who wants to have a direct, sell it directly, then we become more of a carrier that is selling leads to them, or an agency that's selling leads.
Right.
Same with a captive carrier. So we can have a captive carrier relationship as well by delivering customers who are looking for that brand or, that opportunity that the captive offers. So that's where I would say it's different when I look across the other people in our space.
Mm-hmm.
Many are trying to be national insurance agencies, Answer Financial, for instance, a carrier or an agency I worked for before,
right,
and others that are just trying to be lead aggregators. We'd say that we are a hybrid of those, and we sit in the middle, and that's why we feel like we have an opportunity because all of the carriers, they're looking for quality traffic. We can work with all of them because we aren't stuck in only doing it one way or another.
So you are in the middle. So we haven't really talked about what's on the other end, which is that you've got a growing and strong presence online with the consumer base. So tell us a little bit about that part of the business model.
Yeah, so it's obviously a hyper-competitive marketplace.
It is, right. Yeah, no, it's tough competition, but...
It is, you know, and so we're trying to position ourselves as a place to go to start your shopping experience. So go here first, learn about all of the companies that may be available to you in your area. So, you know, you can go directly to a Progressive or to Geico, but you're only going to hear about Progressive or Geico. Come to the Zebra, we're going to explain what's going on, you know, really hopefully the whole gamut of opportunities for you, and then how, you know, that company wants you to purchase, we're going to get you on that path. So over to their website to buy online or call into our agency so we can purchase as a licensed agent for them.
Typically, how are consumers finding you?
A lot of ways. We do a ton of content so that when a consumer, you know, searches of, you know, what's an SR22 or do I need full coverage, things like that, we're trying to have the content there to explain and then get to us. And that's really our preferred method, you know, of driving people to our site.
So really good, solid content consumers are looking for your search engine optimization. Okay. And so that is how I found you. Now, as I recall, I got a notification through my my news feed, and there was an offer for an article or something about the state of auto insurance. And I saw that and I thought, oh, well, that's something Michael Jantz need to put on his reading list. So I did. And then when I read it, I saw, oh, it came from the Zebra. And by the way, it was a really interesting report. And then I read it and I saw it was from you. And that's when I began to research who you were. So it wasn't that I found you through SEO, but you'd been pushing it out through some channels or somebody found that article and pushed it out. And so I found the Zebra. Now then, what I have noticed is that if somebody visits your site, it is rich with content. So up in the navigation bar, there is a tab, I think it says Insurance 101. And so you've got a lot of things that people can read about. And presumably these are, I'm guessing, those things which your marketing team is discovering people are most interested in. So something about the state of insurance, insurability score. You've also got an Ask an Agent tab.
Well, that's where we actually get a lot of the ideas for our content, because the Ask an Agent is basically throwing out there, hey, whatever the customer has questions about, we're a safe place to ask.
That's a great strategy. Okay, so I did not go on that part of the site. So if somebody visits that, is there a place where they can actually post a question?
Yes. We have a licensed agent who replies to those, and one business day is our goal.
Uh-huh.
And the idea is if it's content that we have already out on our site, we're going to link to that content so the customer can read in depth about it. If it's something that we really haven't gone into before, we have weekly meetings to go over that, and then we work on articles to answer that question that we didn't think about before.
But that's a great strategy, and I hope everybody's listening to that one. And then on the bottom of your site, you've got a section called Insurance Guides, and there are guides for lots of things that people pay attention to or people are probably a little bit confused about in the world of insurance. Like, you've got insurance explained in plain English, liability insurance, collision insurance, comprehensive insurance. And so when I saw this, I thought, oh, content marketers, at least from a marketing point of view, these guys know what they're doing.
And yeah, well, that's the idea.
It is the digital world. You pretty much can't not do that. Now, there was one other thing on your site that completely intrigued me, and I thought it was another brilliant move, if you don't mind me saying so. It was above the fold on the top part of the website where there's an offer to get your free insurability score, which is trademarked by you, in 2 minutes. And then the subhead is check your risk profile. When you know more, you can save more. And yeah, there's a very clever little graphic. Tell us a little bit about that.
So one of the things as insurance agents, we always hear, you know, people just do not understand why pricing is not straightforward. You know, all the time we will get people, whether it's chat or on the phone, just give me a price. And, you know, we kind of chuckle if it was only that easy. And so the insurability score is really a tool to give insight on why prices vary so much. And, you know, when you say, I don't currently have insurance, and you see your insurability score go down, meaning that is a rating factor companies use that is going to impact your rate.
Right.
So it's all about learning of what can impact rate, and so just the consumer is better understands.
Got it. So it seems that the Zebra is taking a very strong consumer educational position in the marketplace.
Right. And we want to be seen as the place where people go to start their insurance shopping and get answers to common questions that is not coming from a specific carrier. We're not owned by a carrier. A lot of other in our space have ownership ultimately by carriers. We're 100% independent. Now, we have very strong partnerships with carriers. We don't want to do anything that would hurt their ability to be profitable, but we also want to be seen from a consumer perspective as a place to go where you're going to get straightforward, honest information about how this industry works so that they're better educated when it's time to be shopping and making decisions.
Got it. All right. You guys are in Series B funding, yes? And I understand that XL is one of your investors. So you're obviously they're a very, very serious investor. I think you and I, you had indicated that they've invested in Slack, Facebook, et cetera. So they have high hopes for you.
Yes, I would say so. They were the lead on our Series B.
Uh-huh.
And so they, yes, had very high hopes. Have high hopes for us. One of their other they backed Kayak very early on.
Ah.
And in fact, our CEO since Series B is Keith Melnick, who was the president of Kayak prior to this. And so they had a very close working relationship. And when this opportunity with the Zebra came up, Keith was really intrigued. And so he joined us. It's probably been about 7 or 8 months now.
Okay.
He's been a great addition to our leadership team.
Yeah, tell us the founding story. Where did Zebra come from, and who's the genius behind it?
So the Zebra, why were the Zebra, which we get that question a lot.
Yeah.
Our original name was Insurance Zebra, but the whole concept is insurance in black and white.
Right, okay.
So trying to make it very clear, straightforward. So Adam Lyons is our founder. And he was actually at an accelerator startup competition in Pittsburgh. And he won the competition and got some seed money. It wasn't a whole lot of money, but he won the competition and got seed money, basically pitching exactly what we are doing today.
And if I'm sorry to interrupt. If I'm accurate about his story, he was already a fairly successful entrepreneur and a recognized digital marketer.
Actually, that is our co-founder, Josh Dziewiak,
okay.
who was on the panel that Adam was presenting to.
Ah, okay.
Josh was so taken by the idea that after Adam was awarded the prize for it, he said, do you need a partner? And
then, okay.
boom, the actual company was born. And Josh is kind of a serial entrepreneur and had developed a number of companies prior to that point.
Okay.
That have been successful.
Got it. All right. And your founder did have some insurance background. Am I right about
yes.
that? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. Commercial insurance. He had also spent some time in London working for Lloyd's. So he had some insurance background, and that's where he really recognized how challenging this can be from a consumer's perspective.
Got it. All right. Well, you've gotten some great press. I do want to read this from Forbes. The Zebra is launched to make it easier and faster for drivers to shop for cheaper traditional types of car insurance, Forbes magazine. And then on your site, you've got some fairly rave reviews from the, well, from the Insurance Journal, calling you one of the disruptors in the industry, and Fortune magazine, and so on and so forth. So it's not often that we see the insurance industry being lauded for innovative thinking. So at least congratulations to you on that. So how long has the company been around?
So we're a little over 6 years old. Uh-huh. And we were launched in Pittsburgh and then moved down to Austin, Texas about 4 years ago, mainly due to many of our investors are here, as well as just access to engineering talent. Austin is a great place to recruit really smart folks on the engineering side.
Also arguably one of America's most livable cities.
It is, unless you're commuting.
Okay, it has changed a lot. Okay, so as I said earlier, if we turn the clock back a few years, I mean, you said you're 6 years old, and I didn't realize that you had been around quite that long. But if we go back far enough, you know, let's say 10 years, you know, we wouldn't have had this conversation, not just because the Zebra didn't exist. It's just that perhaps the environment and the industry really wasn't ready for it. What do you think is happening now? Whether that's trends and forces in the insurance industry, changes in consumer behavior, changes in innovations in technology, what's going on now that is allowing for the emergence of the Zebra, but then also lots of other insurance innovators or insurance disruptors?
So I think that the main thing that's driving success of the Zebra is consumers. Consumers want to be able to go to one place. You know, Google, we go to Google for everything, and that's where we start a lot of our searches, whether it's for shopping or for any type of information.
Right.
And so they would expect the same thing in the insurance industry, and that's not generally the case. You go to specific companies, go to specific carriers to find out about what they have to offer. So, you know, from a consumer standpoint, that seems very odd. You wouldn't just go to one store to do your shopping. You'd go to Amazon and see everything that's possibly out there, and it's going to link you to those stores.
Right.
That's the concept that we're doing, and you know, we feel like we're just following a consumer trend that's already out there. That doesn't mean that the other piece that's making this work is carriers are realizing that in order to get the volume of new shoppers to them, they need to participate in online. And while a lot of them are very successful with their individual websites, how do they get more people going to those websites without just spending unbelievable amounts of branding dollars? And that's where we can help, is to get those shoppers, people who are not sure where they want to go, if we can lay out great options for them, get them to the right carrier for them, that carrier should have a higher success rate with that customer. So I think it's on two sides. It's consumer-driven as well as it's carrier-driven. Carriers looking to get to consumers mm-hmm. at a reasonable price that they don't have to necessarily, from a brand perspective, have drive carriers to their own website.
All right, so I want to ask you a little bit of a two-part question. I mean, I think we all recognize that whatever business we have, we don't want every consumer. You know, in other words, whatever our business model is, it's not optimal for everybody. So presumably there is a demographic that is ideal for the Zebra, and perhaps some that are not. And then the second part of the question has more to do with your perspectives on the role of the independent agency and their relationship with the consumer. But let's start with the Zebra. Is it for everybody, or is there a demographic that it's best suited for your business model?
Well, I would say that we are for everybody, if we have the carrier relationship, one challenge is, you know, so somebody who has a very unique risk, maybe very complicated, very unique, out of the ordinary, that might be more challenging for us because we don't have that specialty carrier, access to that specialty carrier. We don't have a relationship with them. I would say, though, that the 80 to 90% of the population who, you know, has a couple cars and a house, or maybe they don't have insurance now, we have relationships with carriers that can insure them. That's not really the problem. It's more along the lines of there's some geographic areas that might be a little tough, as well as risk profiles of that we wouldn't have the relationship with the carrier that could help them.
Okay. And by the way, think of you as being in the auto insurance part of the business, but are you beyond that?
We are in our agency. Our agency, we sell property products.
Okay.
Online, we are strictly auto right now. I mean, the future, obviously, we want to be the insurance marketplace rather than just the auto insurance marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make sure we've got auto done right first.
Yeah.
And, you know, we feel like we still have opportunities there before we start getting too scattered and going in too many directions.
All right. So you do have relationships with independent insurance agents, yes?
Insurance agents?
Yes. Agents.
To some degree, yes.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about how that part of the model works.
Most of the, it's challenging to, you know, get leads with two independent agents. We really need the help of their carriers. So the preferred method for us is to work with an independent agency carrier who is also doing a lot of proactive help with their agents delivering leads, because then we have one point of contact and they're the distribution method to the independent agent.
Okay.
So that's actually the bigger opportunity that we see, just because technically it's challenging to work with true independent agents that are you know, covering maybe just one geographic area, not large agents.
Okay. So Steve, I could be having this conversation with somebody else that's broadly in this space, and their position would be that independent agents are irrelevant, or they want to disrupt that whole part of the marketplace and push those relationships aside. My sense is, at least at this point in time, that the Zebra does have some respect for the role of the independent insurance agent.
We have a ton of respect for that. I mean, we are an independent agency.
Right.
But do you
want to be the last independent insurance agency, or, you know, does the Zebra see that there is a continued role for the friends you left behind at Erie Insurance and so forth?
Absolutely. I think that what we're trying to do is, if the carriers have independent agents, what we want to do is be able to deliver to those carriers, who then can deliver to their independent agents, consumers that they may have a hard time getting to on their own. We want to be that place that if you want to find a local independent agent, you can still come to the Zebra. We can give those to you as an option. If that's what you want, we can give those options to you.
Okay.
So we're not trying to cut the independent agent out at all. We're trying to get more consumers to be able to actually find them.
All right. So, you know, as this industry moves forward in fairly turbulent times, what do you see as the appropriate evolving role of the independent insurance agent?
So, I think that the independent insurance agent adds a ton of value, especially when it comes to risks that aren't straightforward. The knowledge, the expertise of helping someone who does not have the vanilla risk is, to me, key and always going to be a really important element. I think it's going to be more challenging to take the straight, you know, two car, one house, no claims. That's pretty easy. Now add some artwork and add a small business. Now you've crossed another level. And to me, that's where the relevancy of the independent agent is. That doesn't mean that they still can't get leads via a Zebra or somebody like us. and develop that lead out and get all of those lines of business. That is much more challenging for us to do here in our agency call center.
Got it. All right. Back to the consumer for a moment. Other than the fact that they're online now, and that, as you said, it seems that they want ease of use online. They want to be able to go one place and get a lot, right? Mm-hmm. They want all of their experiences in any industry to be like Amazon. How else do you think consumer expectation has changed, if at all? How are they different than they were 10 years ago?
Well, I think, you know, consumers are, their expectations have definitely gone up, and this is one of the challenges we have with some of our carriers who have not kept up, things to be able to go online and make payments or straightforward changes to their policies. You know, when a consumer finds a carrier via the Zebra or another, their expectations are, I want to go online, I want to do as much as I can. And some carriers have done a great job of keeping up with that, and others are very frustrating to consumers because why can't I do this? Why is it so challenging? And so I think that's a big opportunity in our industry, is to stay consumer focused and consumer driven.
All right. Okay, I'm going to ask you to slow dance with me here for a moment, so you can take a deep breath. All right, I'm going to ask you to sort of share a perspective from the point of view of Steve Beard, not just the Zebra, if that's okay. In other words, somebody who has been in the industry for a long time, worked for an independent insurance agency carrier, helped accelerate the growth of Esurance, and now is working for this kind of hybrid insurtech model that does lots of different things. So what I'm going to ask you to do is think, you know, if you were going to have an opportunity to share a really important message to the independent insurance agency system or to the principals of independent insurance agencies, if you had I'm going to try to give you that chance, an opportunity for a platform where you could draw on your years of experience and draw on your perspective about the direction that the industry is going. And, you know, presumably we're all interested in the success of the industry. And, of course, I and my listeners are interested in the success of the independent insurance agency system. What is it that you would want to share? What is it that you would want to say?
Well, that was a long question.
Okay, all right. Here's the question. Here's the question. In 25 words or less, what do you want to say to the independent insurance agent of today?
Build on your strengths. You are local, and you have much deeper knowledge of the business and the products that are available and matching to that person, mm-hmm. than is easy to do in a direct world and even in a captive world, because they are limited to their products. You know, and I see that as the absolute biggest opportunity in the independent agency system, is that knowledge as well as access to product. I think, though, the biggest thing that we have to keep thinking about is consumer expectations are getting higher and higher and higher. You need to work with carriers who can deliver a consumer expectation that meets what they expect, and it still be in the independent agency model. So you also have to pick your carriers very carefully, or you're going to see your book is always going to be rated by somebody who is easier, not necessarily better for the customer.
Got it. Well said. All right. So if people want to find out more about the Zebra, Steve, what should they do and what should they know?
Well, if you go to thezebra.com, we have a ton of information out there, like you had mentioned earlier, all about us. You can see how our auto quote works and get to our results page, mm-hmm. and see how there are different options. When you get to our results page, some carriers will allow you to complete it online. Some we're going to call directly to the carrier. Some you're going to call to one of the agents who are on my team. And you mm-hmm. can see that it's really flexible and easy. It's not perfect. but we're always working and striving to make it as easy of a process for consumers as possible.
By the way, I haven't gone through the application process on your site, but the site itself is very elegant. So well done there, and terrific job on the rich content that you make available. So congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. I can't take credit for all that, but we have a great team here.
Yeah. If Steve, I'm not sure. I mean, I know you don't want a bunch of inbound phone calls, but if somebody has a particular reason to reach out to you in particular, how should they do that?
You can contact me directly at sbeard@thezebra.com. We also have partnerships@thezebra.com. If you're looking to find ways to participate in either buying leads from us or participating by showing rates on our website.
Okay. Steve, I want to thank you very much for your time, and you've been generous, kind of pulling back the curtains on, at least from your point of view, what the future of insurance might look like. So thank you very much.
Sure. I enjoyed it.
Michael Jan's back with a few short comments about the conversation that I had with Steve Beard. But first, I want to share a LinkedIn conversation that I had with my friend Barry Rabkin, who has been a guest on this podcast and is one of the industry's sharper analysts. And I'd mentioned to him that I might be taking the drive, a little road trip with Teresa from the desert here outside Cape Creek, Arizona, to Santa Fe, where Barry lives. And he said, I just have one serious request. When you come to Santa Fe and we are together, please don't mention the meaningless, mindless, ignorant term InsurTech. To which I replied, sounds fair, said Michael Jans, co-author of the InsurTech book. and then he said, I remember you mentioned that. There are incumbent insurance firms and startup insurance firms. There are incumbent technology firms and startup technology firms. That's it. There is no such legally government recognized and regulated entities called InsurTech firms, nor is there any need for any self-appointed czars to tell insurance firms, incumbent or startup, that gee whiz and wow, now you're an InsurTech firm because using such and such technology insurance firms have been using for strategic, tactical, or control initiatives longer than any of us have been alive. Absolutely no need for snake oil advisors to deem the insurance firms InsurTech firms, a meaningless, ignorant, self-serving term. So in any case, I suppose you could say insurance. Yes, insurance and technology, they have been working together forever. I mean, you could say, hey, go back to whatever, the 1930s and maybe some or 20s or earlier, and maybe some insurance agent picked up a phone and he said, I'm an InsurTech agency now. Indeed. However, to Barry and all my friends, when $10 billion in technology investments comes flooding into the industry for the purpose of disrupting or modifying the industry, then it's probably a good idea at least to pay attention. Don't care what you call it. But I'm going to be a joiner on this, not a leader. I'm going to call it InsurTech. And yes, in fact, I was and am the co-author of the InsurTech book published by Wiley, which is like being published about now or very shortly. And frankly, I think we need to know, what is this? What is this all about? So I'm going to encourage you, hop on Amazon, buy the book. It's a little more expensive than other books. I think it's about $30, but you're an insurance professional, and I am a believer that professionals have an obligation to always be in school. So, that being said, by the way, I get nothing for it. I get no royalties. I get no commissions. I wrote one chapter for it, and it's a chapter that I think is important to the independent insurance agency, because I was writing it as an advocate of the agency broker channel. So buyers should at least read what I wrote. Hop on Amazon. If it's not out yet, you can pre-order it. And again, I get nothing for it, but you will, because I think you'll be smarter for it. That being said, there was something that Steve said that I think we all need to pay attention to, is that, the thing that they feel that drives the Zebra is that they're customer-centric. And I think there's, right now, nothing more important than that. Consumers have changed. Their behavior has changed. And who they are has changed. We have 83 million millennials in the marketplace right now, and they're buying more stuff than they ever have been. Trust me, 6 months from now, they'll be buying more. 12 months from now, they'll be buying even more than that. And then next thing you know, kaboom, you know, they might be either the biggest part of your book of business or the biggest part of your competitor's book of business. So I have three very short suggestions for you. One, we got to listen more. And I know that at times it can be challenging. This is a challenge that I have had in coaching and consulting with agents, is that as they become better and better entrepreneurs, building systems, working on the business more and in the business less, sometimes what that means is that they are dealing with their clients less and they're a little more out of touch. Boom, change that. Take some out to lunch. Take some that you don't normally talk to out to lunch and listen to what they have to say. That's number one, is that there needs to be some listening. And I would encourage a conversation, a staff conversation, a staff team meeting, CSRs, producers, managers, supervisors, everybody, and report on what is it, what are the kinds of things that people are saying right now. And so that's number one. And then I would go to, and I all this, pardon me, I get excited about this. This goes in line with something I've been teaching for a long time. I think you should bring your clients into your business more and more. There's a phrase that I really, really like, which I'll ask you to ponder. Today's consumer doesn't want to be marketed to. They want to be marketed with. And the only way to do that is to bring them in and allow them to be a part of your business, make your business more transparent and make it more inclusive. We'll talk more about that later. Item number two is then divide your client base into categories or your client, marketers call it personas or avatars. Create a persona or an avatar that describes the top two or three classes of your clients, whoever they are. That it's a generalization. It's obviously not accurate for everybody, but you'll come to some conclusions about how these people want to be communicated with, what's important to them, what their values are, what their hopes and dreams are, what their fears are, what keeps them up at night, and the role that you play in their life and the role that you could play in your life. And then number three is, as you listen to your customers, you may in fact discover that some of them are simply some categories, some classes, they're just not well suited to your agency. And here's an example. If in fact, let's say your CSRs say, all the prospects who are calling say all they care about is price, then more than likely they're just going to be bad customers. If on the other hand, they tell stories about how they have questions about protection, or they had a bad experience with something, or maybe they had a claim and they really do care about the peace of mind that insurance can give them, then more likely they're going to be really good customers for you. So number one, listen and bring your customers into the inside of the agency, into the business itself. Number two, find the two or three personas that really begin to describe the your book of business, and so that you can gain insight on how you communicate and how you can innovate. And again, we'll talk more about that later. And then three, see whether or not you're hearing a lot of conversations which don't resonate with the values of your agency. And then, in fact, you can adjust that. You can adjust that by changing your advertising and marketing. And you can, as you recruit more ideal clients, then you start hearing more compelling, interesting, poignant, important conversations. So that's it for now. I will encourage you, hop on Amazon, at least look at the InsurTech book. There probably are no reviews because I think it's still in pre-pub. But go ahead and pre-order it and consider yourself smart. All righty, that's it for now. Look forward to talking to you. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.